Hello, everyone. This is November the 14th, 2015.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be with you, beloved, and talking about the things that we're going to be talking about today.
So for those of you who didn't watch the news or haven't been up with the news, last night, Paris was struck several times by suicide bombers, six or seven of them, and they detonated bombs at undefended civilian places, such as a soccer game in a large stadium, and such as a rock concert given, by the way, by an American heavy metal band, and in other places around the city. There are 127 people died, at least by this morning's count, and Paris is in the midst of a major experience. And in fact, the world is in the midst of a major experience. So as I'm telling you this news, I'd like you to look at yourself. I'd like you to look at what you're feeling, the emotional experiences that you're having. And if you already knew about this news, then look at the emotional experiences that you had when you first heard about it, and also look at what your experiences are now. So we're going right into this because it is a perfect opportunity to look at whether or not you're creating authentic power and how you can if you're not. Now, I'd also like to point out that there's no moment in your life that isn't the perfect opportunity. But this one is a different one because we live in a world of mass and instantaneous communication. And so all of us can feel what the people in France are feeling. And in fact, what people around the world are feeling as they are having discussions about what happened in France. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this act of violence, where it came from, and what you can do about it.
Yes.
And I'm so glad to be on this call with you again today, beloved.
I am also happy to be on the call with you, beloved. I'm joyful because I know that yet again, we all have an opportunity to create authentic power, to change things for ourselves, to change things in our world.
So the question I would like to ask you, and in our question and answer period, we'll go into your experiences and sharing, and we'll do that in the small group sessions after this this video and after the question and answer. But the question I feel that is so important for everyone to ask is, what can I do? What is the best thing for me to do? Have you all had a chance to look at what your emotional experiences are now that you're hearing this news, either for the first time or being reminded of it again this morning? If so, take a look at what your thoughts are too. Are they thoughts of overwhelm, of vulnerability, of not again, of helplessness? Are they thoughts of revenge, anger?
When is it going to happen in the U.S., feeling frightened because you don't know what's going to happen next?
So, in a case like this, and in all cases, we can ask, what can I do? What is the best thing that I can do in the face of this kind of unmitigated hatred, unmitigated violence? And this is what I'm going to suggest. The first step is to look inside yourself. Excuse me. In other words, if you allow this news with all of its shock and all of its surprise to distract you from creating authentic power, then this distraction is contributing more. You, by being distracted, are contributing more to the world that this news is bringing to your attention. How is that so? Now we go to basics again, the basics of creating authentic power.
When you say distracted, can you give some examples? Because for me, being distracted means that I'm caught in frightened parts of my personality that feel revenge, that feel deep grieving, but not seeing what's really important, feeling angry, feeling feeling superior, feeling inferior, feeling powerless.
Thank you, beloved.
That's what I mean when I think of it as distraction.
Well, thank you for those examples.
Yeah.
Those are exactly the examples that you can use yourself. If you were feeling any of those things, you were distracted. And distracted from what? Distracted from looking at these experiences in yourself and recognizing them as coming from a part of your personality, either a frightened part or a loving part. Mm. Now, you might say, well, let's talk about the really important things. 127 people died. Terrorists have struck again, and this time they've struck in France. And it could be in the United States. It could be in Germany next. It could be in Japan. These are the big things to think about. Well, are they? I suggest that they're not. You'll think about these things. We all will. But the first place to look is inside yourself to see if you are in a frightened part of your personality or a loving part of your personality. If you're in a frightened part of your personality, you're angry, or you're in shock, or you're overwhelmed, or you're anxious, or you're despondent, or you are feeling humiliated because the free world has been violated, or you're feeling defenseless, all of these are experiences of fear. And with them come painful physical sensations. So when I say look inside, I mean apply your emotional awareness. Put your attention into your body and start with your chest area and your solar plexus area and your throat area and see what physical sensations you can find there. And if those sensations are uncomfortable or painful, then you know that a frightened part of your personality is active. And when you look at your thoughts, if they're thoughts of revenge, of getting even, of shock, then you know that you're in a frightened part of your personality. If you're thinking in terms of terrorist, you're in a frightened part of your personality. I suggest that you remove that word from your vocabulary, because it is a way of manipulation, self-manipulation even, that allows you to begin to look at other humans, at other students in the Earth School, as other than they are. Each of these individuals involved in this attack was the son of a mother or the daughter of a father, as well as each of the people who were injured or killed in this attack. So we tend to look at those who were injured or killed as people like us. Usually we do. Sometimes we just say they're victims or casualties. But they also are sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers. So don't think of anyone as a terrorist or a jihadist or a militant or any of these terms that you'll read in the newspaper. They are fellow students in the Earth School. Now, what could have caused them to travel, to plan, to prepare, to put explosives around their body, and to go into crowds of fellow students in the Earth School and detonate those explosives? Well, we'll talk about your answers later, but you're hearing them now. Do you think it was anger? Do you think it was judgment? Do you think they were thinking that the people they were killing were infidels? That's another term, by the way, that covers up the humanity of people. Were they thinking that their religion is the only religion? And if others don't believe in their religion, those people should be killed. Mm. Well, in fact, yes, because that is the orientation of this movement called ISIS. Now, what causes that? You know from your self-experimentation that you have done or that you will do that that kind of rigidity, that kind of fundamentalism, which means rigid, without any flexibility, without any discussion, without any room for considering people who are different from you to be as valuable and precious as you, that is fundamentalism, whether it's Sunni Muslim fundamentalism or Shiite fundamentalism or Christian fundamentalism or New Age fundamentalism. Usually people in the New Age aren't ready to kill someone else, but look at the energy with which, if you're in the New Age, you judge people who aren't like yourself or like you see yourself to be. Look at the people who have been killed in front of abortion clinics because they have been judged as killers, and so others have become killers in order to kill these killers in their perception. What is the difference? When you hate, when you are enraged, when you want to lash out in violence and destruction against those who have lashed out in violence, with violence and destruction, you join them. You're not different from them. And yet, usually, you judge them. Now, I'm saying you. Let me be specific. Frightened parts of your personality are the parts of your personality that judge others, that declare them infidels, jihadist, terrorist. Just as, and by the way, this is a manipulation that has been done consciously through propaganda again and again. The Nazis portrayed the Jews in Germany and everywhere, in fact, as vermin, as rodents, infected rodents that needed to be exterminated. And the Nazis did their best to exterminate them. But the Nazis, at least the people involved in it, were not looking at them as mothers and grandfathers and people in pain and people with joy, but as vermin. The same thing happened in Rwanda, where the two tribes that were at war with each other, one tried to exterminate the other, and they characterized the other as cockroaches. So this is what our media does, what our government does, what all of us do without thinking when we're in fear. Right. We mask.
What all governments do, what all people do, that when they're in agreement with each other and pushing other people away.
If they are in fear, if
yes.
There is an agreement about fear,
yes,
that is what happens. If there's an agreement about love, that's another story.
Yes.
So what is your emotional experience? Now, your emotional experience may not be your reaction. In other words, you may have chosen not to act on that. If your emotional experience was to say, this could happen here, and I'm going to be ready for them, I'm going to get a gun, I'm going to get 5 guns, I'm going to have a gun in every place in my house, there should be guns in schools, there should be guns in restaurants, there should be guns at soccer games. Whoa, that's a scary thought. But anyway, if you're thinking thoughts like that, that's coming from fear. There's no love involved. Well, some people might say there is love involved. It's I've got to protect my family. I've got to protect my children because I love them. How are you going to protect them? Really protect them? By contributing to a world that's based on fear, on the perception of power as the ability to manipulate and to control, or by contributing to a world that reflects the values of the soul, harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life? Do you have the courage to experience your pain, the pain of wanting to get even, the pain of vengeance, the pain of hatred, the pain of any kind of distance from another person? Do you have the courage to face that consciously, to put your attention inside yourself, feel the physical sensations that come with that, and then choose not to act on it? If you don't, what protection are you giving your children? What protection are you giving your loved ones? You're not contributing love to the world. You're contributing more fear. So we're talking about fundamentals. I've always liked to go to the heart of the matter. Always. When I joined the army, I wanted to, I when I joined the military, I wanted to be a fighter pilot, but I couldn't because of my eyesight. So I wanted to be a paratrooper, and I became one. Then I wanted to become a Green Beret. I didn't want to be an ambulance driver. I didn't want to be a clerk in the Army. I wanted to be in combat because I felt that was the heart of the Army. Well, that's the way I felt at the time. When I wrote a book about physics, I wanted to go to the heart of quantum physics, the very essence of it. And I think I did a pretty good job because it turned out to be a wonderful endeavor to be able to express something that most people think is complex in its simplicity. Mm. Now I know that I still want to go to the heart of the issue, whatever the issue is, if it's not constructive. The issue now is violence in our world. The issue is the perception of powers, the ability to manipulate and to control. When I was in the Army, I was convinced, absolutely, irrevocably convinced, that the most powerful thing in the world was a bullet. And now I look at things differently. There's no power in a bullet. There are some wonderful examples. Jesus of Nazareth is a remarkable one. Did you know, we probably did if you went to Bible school, but when Jesus began to gain traction, to have popularity, the Zealots, who were the people who were violently opposed to Roman occupation, said, "Hey, Jesus, we've got the army, we've got them armed, and we want you to lead them. Just say the word. You're the man we've been waiting for." And he did say the word. He said, "No," because that's not the message he wanted to bring. That's not how he wanted to live his life. That's not what he wanted to contribute to the world. And what he contributed to the world is a message of love. Plain and simple love. Yes, there's parts of the Bible that demonstrate that Jesus had a personality that had some frightened parts in it. And who knows how it was interpreted, reinterpreted, reinterpreted, and reinterpreted over millennia. But we do know this, or at least I feel I know it, that the message of this remarkable presence on the earth was love your neighbor. Love the people around you. And how much was he telling us to love our neighbor? Enough to invite them over for dinner? Enough to see how they're doing when they're feeling sick? Or enough to die for them? How about enough to die a brutal death? An agonizing death for them? So, are you a Christian? Think about this. Our friend Maya Angelou told us, when somebody says, "I'm a Christian," she would say to them, "Oh, really? Already? I'm in my 80s and I'm still trying." The humility and the power of her way of looking at the world, in my opinion, is Christian. There's love in it. There's compassion in it. There's patience in it. And there's a desire to contribute love to the world and nothing else. So, now back to our topic. There have been severe outbreaks of violence in France, in Paris. And we all have emotional experiences. And for many of us, those experiences are experiences of fear, anger, vengeance. By the way, I'm telling you this also because I have to say what my experiences were. They took me back to a time when I was a paratrooper. And I had a momentary thought of waves and waves and waves of fighters and bombers obliterating this thing called ISIS, bombing it out of existence. Well, that's not something I want to act on, but it was there. I could feel it. I could see it. It almost felt satisfying to think of revenge. That's what a frightened part of the personality feels like. If you had any experiences like that, this is your opportunity to challenge them. I just read in the paper this morning about an article in Newsweek about the mother of a young man who was brutally killed by this very organization in the Mideast. And she told Newsweek, "I'm saddened that our government is spending our precious resources to extract revenge, to focus on killing this," as she put it, "pathetic, deranged young man." She had compassion.
The even one though, who killed her son.
The one who killed her son. She was saying, "I'm sorry that our government is focusing its resources on killing someone, on taking revenge for the murder of my son. He's my son, and I don't want that. My son was a peacekeeper, a peacemaker. He would have been distraught at all of this." Mm. Also, this morning, in the Christian Science Monitor, is a beautiful article about the response of many people in Paris.
Yes.
Their immediate response, opening their homes, opening their businesses to people who were affected in these attacks. Simply opening a window from the second floor and seeing people running and saying, "You can come in here, you can come in here, I've opened the door for you."
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants inviting people in and putting them in the back. A spontaneous experience of compassion.
Yeah.
In the moment of brutal violence, bombs have just detonated, and not just bombs that make a big bang, but bombs that blow down buildings almost a block long. Mm. What would you do? We've had this opportunity before.
We have.
When the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, were attacked. We had the opportunity to say as a nation, "What created this?" We had the opportunity to say, "Are we really a peace-loving nation, or are we a violent nation?
Mm.
Are we really modeling love, or are we exporting violence?"
Mm.
Do we need military bases in 70 or 80 countries around the world? Do we need special, or what is called black ops, in 70 nations around the world? Well, that's for each of us to decide. Why? Not because we're policymakers, but because the energy, the consciousness of that originates in us. It originates in me. That's why the first step in answering the question, "What can I do?" is to look inside and to see the parts of my personality that are active in the moment. And when they are parts of my personality that originate in fear, it's my responsibility, if I'm going to change myself, to challenge them, to choose to act from a loving part of my personality instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what contributes to a world in which your children are safe, in which you are safe. A world in which you have the courage to say, "These are fellow humans. We must not kill them," and mean it.
Yes.
So even those who have killed.
Yes. Beloved, I was thinking about what I actually...
I'm doing
what are
that
you
because,
doing?
Because Linda's microphone's causing a ring when it comes toward mine.
Ah, maybe we've got some electricity,
yeah,
huh?
We do.
Hey, all right.
Well,
so I want to say, though, my experience when I saw... Gary and I had been preparing for the Life School talk this morning. We've been preparing for a couple of days, and we were just getting ready to go to bed, and I just thought, well, I'm just going to check my computer just to before I go to sleep. And that's when I saw the news. I didn't know about it until then. So in that moment, the first reaction that I had a frightened part that felt overwhelmed, that there's no way that teaching people about authentic power is going to, there's just not enough people that are interested or we could teach about authentic power that would change this from happening. And I felt it in my body. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a strong, frightened part. Because it doesn't matter. What's important for me is that I challenge the fear in me, that I challenge every bit of fear in me, and that was a fearful part of my personality that felt overwhelmed, that there's no way that we can be of support or that I could be of support. But I know that's not true. I know that it's my commitment to changing myself and creating with love rather than fear, in other words, creating authentic power, that really makes the difference in the world. Because my energy is, I do my best to have it be from love, and I feel more committed to that now just from seeing this is another opportunity we're being given by the universe to look at ourselves, to change ourselves, to make a commitment to ourselves, to when we feel distance from someone, anyone, you can think about all the people in your life that you feel judgments toward, that you feel distant from, who you think don't like you, so you push them away. All of that comes from fear. So I'm looking at that in myself. I'm looking at all the people that I push away, that I've just kind of pushed away in my life, and hold judgments. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make sure that my energy is open, full of love all the time, that when I experience fear in me, that I allow myself to feel the pain of it, notice that it's fear, and challenge that by creating with love. In other words, creating authentic power. My intention is to do that every moment. And I'm so grateful for another opportunity, though it be not one that I want to have happen again in this world. I'm going to use it as an opportunity, not as a reason to spiral into fear.
So why is it that I said at the beginning of our talk, the first step in answering the question, what can I do, is to look inside yourself. And now Linda is talking about looking at all of the times and the energies that you have used to push people away, to destroy intimacy, to cause separation. And then ask yourself, what do both of these things have to do with these bombings in Paris, with this brutality in Europe? They have a lot to do. And that's why we're talking to you about authentic power. What I want to convey to you is that the arena in which it is now necessary to address global violence is a very intimate one. Mm. It's in you.
Yes.
Yes, the people who have done these things and those who have sponsored them need to be prevented from doing it to others, need to be prevented from the terrible suffering they're inflicting on people in the Middle East, suffering so severe, so violent, so brutal, that millions, 2 million people are fleeing out of Syria and Iraq, trying to find a safe haven. Yes, these people who are creating this need to be prevented from doing it more. Mm. They need to be prevented from doing it in the future.
Yes.
In whatever way, and you can think prison, bars, restraints. That is obvious. However, as they are restrained, as they are prevented, as steps are taken to do whatever is necessary to prevent this further suffering and oppression, it is of fundamental importance that it not be done with judgment. So, how can we keep an entire nation from judging? How can you even keep a person sitting next to you from judging? You can't. But you can look at yourself and see that if you are judging others in any way, in any circumstance, at any time, you are creating painful consequences for yourself and you are contributing external power to the world. And the world is built on external power, the world that we have inherited. We are in new evolutionary territory now. The old understanding of power was the ability to manipulate and to control. That enabled us to evolve by surviving. That enabled us to create shelter, food, communication, all the things that have enabled us to be alive, our species to continue. But the pursuit of external power cannot do that any longer, will not do that any longer. And in fact, the pursuit of external power now produces only violence and destructions.
So you're saying we can't build any more buildings or make any more spaceships, or is that what you mean?
No, not at all. I'm talking about the intention. Mm. Is the intention coming from love, or is the intention coming from fear? Mm-hmm. When I had my fleeting thought of bombing, quote, bombing them out of existence, mm-hmm. that was looking at power as the ability to manipulate and to control. Mm. It will produce only violence and destruction.
And it came from a frightened part of your personality.
It came from a frightened mm-hmm. part of my personality. And it's only in me that I can challenge that part of my personality and choose another path, choose to contribute differently. And only you can do that in you. And don't think, by the way, that this is a mass movement in which you need to join hundreds of millions of others to bring peace to the world. You need to bring peace to the world. You need to bring peace to the world. You need to bring peace to the world. I need to bring peace to the world, regardless of whether you decide to bring peace to the world or not.
Do I have a responsibility to do my best to support people without manipulating them, but actually support them if I see some fear in them that they may not be aware of?
If you are a spiritual partner and you create a spiritual partnership, mm-hmm. then you have a commitment to support your spiritual partners
yes.
in their creation of authentic power. You can't create it for them. Linda
right.
and I are spiritual partners. I cannot create authentic power for Linda, but I will support her as much as I can because I know she's open, because she's told me she's open, because spiritual partners agree to be open. But if I am trying to change someone else so that I'll feel better about myself, that's the pursuit of external power. That's destructive, and that will produce only violence and destruction.
So in other words, if I, even if we're spiritual partners, if my intention is to change you, that would come from fear. If my intention is to support you, to say, beloved, did you notice what you were doing? Do you think it might have been in fear? And I didn't, and I was saying it from love. Then that would be support, rather than saying to you, beloved, you know what? That was really from fear. You better really look at that. And it's not the way I say it, but it is the intention behind it. But I'm dramatizing it.
It's a matter of intention. You can say
yeah.
something sweetly with the intention of manipulating.
That's right.
With the intention of getting someone else to believe the way you believe.
Right.
To value the things that you value. To speak the way you speak. If you're trying to change someone else in order to make yourself feel better, because they will agree with your belief, with your values, that is the pursuit of external power. Make no mistake about it. It produces only violence and destruction. Mm-hmm. It comes from a deep, deep insecurity. Mm-hmm. And as you touch that insecurity, as you begin to experience it consciously, which emotional awareness will allow you to do, you will find that it's excruciating. It's the pain of powerlessness. It's the pain of powerlessness that has driven this modern organization to dress in black and to impose itself brutally, violently, and lethally upon all people, including those, and especially those who disagree with it. Mm-hmm. That is not power on display. It is powerlessness. And if we
call it power, but it's not really power.
We don't call it power.
We call it external power.
Unless you believe that power is the ability to manipulate and control external circumstances, mm-hmm. to change them. But I am suggesting to you that that is the understanding of power that was created by a dying consciousness mm-hmm. and is now non-functional, destructive, and counterproductive to our evolution. So the way that nations responded to Nazism, for example, or defended themselves against Genghis Khan, that will no longer work. if you judge, yes, we can defend ourselves. Yes, we can do that which is necessary to protect the oppressed. Yes, we can have compassion, but if we do any of that with judgment toward those who are oppressing, toward those who are violent, toward those who are brutal, we join them. We step into the darkness. Creating authentic power is becoming the authority in your own life. And only you can do that. You can't take a poll or consult a focus group or do it by committee. It can't be done. You have to create authentic power yourself if you're going to create it. And if you don't, are you judged? No.
Not by the universe.
If you don't create authentic power, you don't change. And you remain in the control of frightened parts of your personality. You lash out with anger, in vengeance, in disdain, in judgment, in superiority. You become overwhelmed, despondent, despairing.
Feel depressed, jealous.
You become a victim, and a victim becomes angry, another experience of fear. And a victim wants revenge, another experience of fear. And some victims strike out in violence.
And all of that, all those frightened parts, will keep you from seeing the opportunity right now that we're having on this day after these bombings and killings in Paris. We're being offered another opportunity. So take that opportunity to create authentic power in yourself. That's what we're here for.
Every time you have a disagreement with your child,
yes,
with your spouse, with your neighbor, with your coworker, it will create emotional experiences in you. And if they are experiences of anger, resentment, distance, judgment, superiority, inferiority, you act on it. You are pursuing external power. You are contributing to the violence in the world that is now expressed almost that is expressed everywhere in the world.
Mm.
So that is what we are talking to you about this morning, creating authentic power, understanding that the way to address global issues begins with you. If you don't, what happens? You can still address global issues. You can still campaign for disarmament. You can still campaign for the earth. You can still campaign for women's rights, but if you do it with anger, if you do it with a sense of righting justice and feeling better about it, if you feel superior while you're doing it, or that you're on the inside track and other people aren't, that's not creating authentic power.
That's adding more fear into the world.
That's doing the same thing
yes,
that has created the violence that we're now encountering. So I'm looking forward very much to hearing your experiences, to hearing about whether or not you are using your courage in a new way, not to impress people, not to feel better about yourself, but to challenge fear, to challenge the things in yourself that have been creating destructive experiences and consequences in your life.